Saturday's broadcast, including online at rosieonthehouse.com. We have a holiday cookbook. Everyone in the office participated that had something special to share. Mr. Harper, tell me about this this recipe I've got here in my hand from the Harper's
for the beans, the frijoles. You know, that's that's been handed down several generations. Rumor has it that was Barry Goldwater's favorite recipe for beans. And, you know, anywhere my mom goes, generally, that's what everybody asks her. Please bring your beans.
Excellent.
You can not come, but bring your beans.
Or just drop them off.
Yeah, exactly. So that's been a favorite in our family. We have, you know, our tradition is, I guess, you know, being from Arizona for so long, we adopted, you know, the tradition of making tamales. We made last weekend for Christmas dinner. So we eat tamales and beans and green chili and enchiladas for Christmas dinner.
Full out Southwest.
Absolutely.
So you can get the frijole recipe off the cookbook, and we'll be covering other items that are in there throughout the broadcast. But we are always here taking your calls at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. If you have a holiday tradition or recipe you'd like to share, we will enter you in a drawing at the end of the broadcast. We'll pull a name from that the winner will go to the ASU men's basketball game tonight. Now, our next caller does not want to participate in that, so we'll get straight to his garden question out in Desert Hills. Go ahead, Rudy.
Hi, good morning. I've just bought a house out here, and I got a street on two sides of my house and about 40-foot of property between my house and the street, and I'm just looking to cover that with something that's going to be easy. Do I use big rocks, small little rocks? Do I need to put something down first over the ground, weed killers? I just need some help in getting started in what I can do to make the front of my yards look a little nicer and not make a bunch of work for myself.
Okay, so you want to cover, you're talking a ground cover, so decomposed gravel or something like that. First thing you want to use is a pre-emergent. Well, first thing you want to make sure the weeds are, you know, basically free of weeds and grass to begin with. And this time of year, that can be a little bit of a challenge because things are either green and growing or they're dormant. You can very effectively get rid of the green growing annual stuff that's going to come up or is coming up with the rain by spraying. But the best thing to do, we don't recommend putting any type of plastic or visqueen or anything down before the rock anymore. We just use a pre-emergent herbicide a couple times a year. It's safe, it's effective, and it works great, and it saves you lots and lots of time, energy, and labor. So a pre-emergent herbicide, and then really there's different feelings on the type and size of rock. Of course, there's different color options, but keep in mind, generally the smaller the rock, the easier it is to weed and rake and clean up if you
walk
do have.
Through.
And, of course, walking across it is much easier. So, you can go to 3/8 minus or quarter minus or 3/8 washed or screened and have a very small type rock that's just – it looks more natural if that's what you're after. So that's just a matter of preference and taste, though. Then, you know – colors are, you know, there's all over the board from very natural gold-looking colors to the, you know, seems like the browner rocks have gotten a little more popular of late. So, and they look real nice. So I really don't know how to advise you other than just keep in mind the bigger the rock, you know, the more of a challenge it can be if you do get weeds and grass in it. And of course, walking across it is a challenge.
I think a walk through a landscape supply yard might be his next trip, just to see what's.
Or available. Drive the neighborhood, you know, see something you like, and you know,
knock on the door,
and see if you can have a handful of it, and then take it somewhere and match it up. That's right.
The photo portfolio at Harper's Landscaping would give him some good ideas.
Yeah, you can go on there and scroll through some of the things we've done, and of course we have a little rock sample of different sizes and colors of rock at our location in Scottsdale too.
So yeah, since you're in the Phoenix metro area, that's harpersnurseries.com.
Mike writes into us this week and wants to know, what does he need to consider when planting an indoor herb garden? Now, I don't know why it's indoor. I don't know if he's in an apartment or a condo, or maybe he just doesn't want to bother with the outdoor. Maybe he's got some big dogs outside in the yard. But whatever the reason, he's going to start an indoor herb garden. And he wants to know, what are the lighting considerations he needs to take into account?
Well, growing anything inside, you know, needs some light, and especially things like herbs are going to take pretty bright light in most cases. A kitchen window typically is right. What you don't want to have is, you know, maybe a hot west window where you're getting direct magnification of sun rays coming in, but good, well-lit, brightly lit. And of course, you want to have it probably close to somewhere where you are going to have to water it. So where's the water going to go? Are you going to have some type of catch tray, or is it close to the kitchen sink? Another good reason that maybe the kitchen window is a good place, because you got water and sink and drainage all in one place. So certainly need good bright light, natural light through a window, not artificial light, and take into consideration, you know, the watering as well.
Any herbs that do particularly well indoor?
Well, most herbs, you know, will grow pretty fast. You can use them. You may have to grow them, use them, replant them. They grow pretty fast. There are things like, you know, any of the mints would do pretty well inside because they'll grow in pretty low light anyway. But a lot of people will grow their basil and things like that inside, the softer, what I call annual herbs. I would stay away from rosemary and and some of the things that are more woody and get bigger. But things like maybe chives and basil and mint, cilantro, those should all do pretty well inside.
Jeremy wants to know what to do with his African sumac. It's getting absolutely out of control, and he wants to know how severe of a pruning can it handle.
Well, you know, African sumac is a kind of a big bushy tree. It tends to want to grow up sometimes out of the roots and off the trunk, and it just depends on what out of control means. But certainly we're getting into the time of year when that severe pruning could occur, you know, in the next month or so. So, you know, you're always safe generally doing about a 30% reduction, because most plants will grow about a third or replace about a third of their growth and size in a season. So if it needs to be more than that, you certainly want to do it probably in January or early February.
I think Ray's question, I'm going to say, because I think it's the same as Dorothy calling in on lemons that are yellowing the leaves. Dorothy, go ahead.
Hi. No, the leaves aren't yellowing. What's wrong is we planted these two trees about 2 years ago, a lemon tree and a grapefruit tree. The grapefruit tree was a bigger tree, but now a lemon tree, the branches are so long, and it's like they've grown like crazy. And my concern is because the trunk hasn't had a chance to get very heavy, and I'm concerned about these huge branches coming out way much bigger than our grapefruit tree.
Well, the lemon's going to grow faster than the grapefruit for sure. They just do. That's just the nature of lemons. They're the fastest growing of all the citrus, and they can get some pretty big, long, wild-looking growth on them on occasion. You can tip those back a little bit, which will cause the branches to thicken up, you know, a little quicker. So don't be afraid to take, you know, again, 20 to 30% off of the size of that this winter. It won't hurt anything. But you want to wait until probably the danger of frost is over, so maybe mid-February before you do too much or too severe a pruning on that. But the lemon is going to grow and get bigger probably than your grapefruit tree.
And you want to make sure that, I mean, if it's a young one, that those new shoots aren't coming from below the rootstock.
That's a good point. You know, look at where they originate, because you could be getting some sucker or growth off of the rootstock, which basically if they're coming off lower than 6 inches above the ground, they're probably a rootstock or a root sucker, and you can remove those anytime those occur.
And those seem to grow twice as fast as the rest of the tree.
Which is why the tree is grafted on that rootstock. It's very vigorous. That's what gives the tree its vigor and its robustness, is the fact that it's grafted onto a hardy rootstock. So any growth that comes off of that rootstock is going to grow faster than the desirable or grafted portion of the tree.
So then I will go back to Ray, who wrote in and said his problem with his lemon tree is it's started to yellow in the last 2 weeks, the leaves.
Yeah. Our first caller this morning had the same issue, and I just think it's overwatering. Yeah, it's just colder, wetter soils that will cause the foliage to yellow out. Make sure we're everybody, whether it's citrus or not, you should. I've got lawn and I haven't watered in 3 weeks. You know, so turn the sprinkler system off right now. Nothing needs water, basically.
And I was funny you mentioned the lawn because that was my next question. We can't get through this hour without mentioning the lawn. Is there anything for winter grass? You mentioned turning it off.
Fertilize it. You know, make sure you're feeding that winter lawn, because if we do get a frost or a freeze, if it's not in you know, good condition, it will yellow it out, and it's hard to get it back greened up again if it frosts or freezes back, and if it doesn't have enough nitrogen. So nitrogen is one of those things. It's hard for it to be used by the plant when the soils are cold. You want to use a nitrogen that has ammonium nitrate as part of the makeup of the fertilizer. That's the most available or the easiest for the plant to use in the cold weather. And you want to fertilize your winter lawn just like your summer lawn, about once a month.
And my front lawn, I keep hand weed free. I pluck it all by hand. Mm-hmm. The back is kind of getting taken over by a couple different varieties. Is there a weed and feed, or should I just treat that separately and with what?
I'm not a big fan of weed and feeds because they're just not a very good value. If you look at the amount of herbicide that's in the fertilizer, the combination, it's pretty minimal, and you're paying a premium for it. You're better off just spot treating or spraying the weeds. There are broadleaf weed killers that can be used on your ryegrass without damaging it.
There you go. Folks, we're, as a part of the broadcast, sharing with you Romero Family Traditions. We'd love to hear your family traditions as well. This is part two of my mom, Baby Kay Romero, reading The Cajun 12 Days Before Christmas.
Day 3. Dear Boudreaux, why don't you send some crawfish? I'm tired of eating them birds. I gave 2 of those prissy French chickens to Marie Trahan over at Grand Bayou and fed the 3rd to my dog, Fido. Marie needed some sparring partners for her fighting rooster. Day 5. Dear Boudreaux, you finally sent something useful. I like them golden rings, me. I hocked them at the pawn shop in Thibodeau, and I got enough money to fix the shaft on my shrimp boat and buy a round of the boys at the Raisin Cane Lounge. Merci beaucoup.